Now we come to chapter 3, and the church is a mystery. This is the last chapter in which we see here the doctrinal side. We go to the practical side in the next chapter. But now the church is a mystery. And in the first 4 verses, we have the explanation of the mystery. 5 through 13, the definition of the mystery. And then we have this second great prayer here, 14 through 21, prayer for power and knowledge. Now, I'd like to say a preliminary word for chapter 3 here. What do we mean when we say the church is a mystery? And there's a great deal of misunderstanding as to that. And there are 2 extreme viewpoints that have been made in our day, and these viewpoints, they are very much a mystery to me. That was not the intention of the apostle, to make it that kind of a mystery. The word for mystery bears no resemblance, by the way, to this modern connotation of whodunit. We're not talking here at all about Conan Doyle or Agatha Christie. Rather, it's something that had not previously been revealed, but it's currently made manifest. Now, in this case, it's the church, which was not revealed in the Old Testament, but is solely a revelation of the New Testament. Now, Moffat translates the word mystery by divine secret. Weymouth uses the word truth. I like the expression divine secret. It was a divine secret. And a divine secret was something that God has not revealed up to a certain point. Now he's going to reveal it. We've been over this before when we saw the mystery in the first chapter. Now there are 2 extreme groups. One group ignores the clear-cut statement of Paul that the church is not a revelation of the Old Testament. They treat the church as a continuation of Israel in the Old Testament, and they appropriate all the promises that God made to Israel. Dr. Ironside showed me a Bible that he had years ago in his study, and back in the Old Testament, it had at the top the subjects, and it says, blessings for the church. It was really in the prophets. It was for Israel. Blessings for the church. Then they came to another page, and he showed it to me. It says, curses for Israel. It's quite interesting. The church took the blessings, but left the curses for Israel. But the interesting thing, both belong to Israel. And this other group, they place undue emphasis upon Paul's statement. He made known unto me the mystery, and my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. They treat the mystery as the peculiar revelation of Paul. And I'm going to show that's inaccurate. As a result, there has been the pernicious practice of shifting the beginning of the church to some date after Pentecost. And on this sliding scale, several dates have been suggested. And when one becomes untenable, why, they adopt another one. This group has probably been after me more and fought me more than any other group in Southern California. When anyone says I'm a hyper-dispensationalist, they must be wrong, because the hyper-dispensationalist probably fought me more than any other individual in this area. And I'm glad for it, because I think that a man's known by the enemies he makes. If you want to know what position I hold, ask the liberal in Southern California, and ask the hyper-dispensationalist, and ask those who are not conforming their lives to the Word of God and don't like Bible study. And I like my enemies. They tell a great deal about me, by the way. And so, these are 2 extreme positions. Now, there have been 2 ways of interpreting the mystery. One is to entirely ignore it and go back and find the church back in the Old Testament and talk about the church there as being Israel. And I had a professor in a denominational seminary that he traced the church back to the Garden of Eden. Now, you can't beat that, friends. You couldn't go much farther back than that. Well, it's not in the Old Testament. Paul says it's a mystery, which means that it was not revealed in the Old Testament at all. And the other extreme is to become a hyper-dispensationalist, and that means that you have several dispensations after the day of Pentecost. Now, on the day of Pentecost, something happened, and to wash back and forth over Pentecost as if you're the tide washing over the beach, I think it's entirely wrong. Something happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came, began forming the body of believers. That'll continue until he takes the church out of the world. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. That is, when we're taken out of the world and presented to Christ.